بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. For anything to move and to progress, it needs to have a line and a direction. No line, not fine. You got the best train, best engine, all the equipment, engine is too excellent, the coaches are more than excellent, all the type of comfort and luxury you can think of, all the service provided, but the train is not on the line. Do you find any progress? Any movement? No movement, no progress. People that would have boarded the train would have said, rather a simple train, but it has got movement. So sometimes what happens to us, and in fact in this age this is what's happening, is the greater emphasis is on the body. Body must be right, finance must be right, the outer appearance must be right, it must be comfortable. So Islam doesn't deny you all this thing here, but for our sight to be restricted to this physical, material, outer, then we are no better than the person or the train that is off the line. It is just restricted to that. That is why Allah Pak speaks about the kuffar. They lost the line. And then how did they lose the line? See, they're off the line, but now what brought them off the line? ذَرْهُمْ يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ. So it's three things. They made the objective on his lifestyle. يَأْكُلُوا, eating, comfort. Right? So that became the goal. Why are you working? For a lifestyle. To service a lifestyle. So the work, the money is just to maintain and serve the lifestyle. So that became the essence of the life. The Jamaat people say it in simple words. They say, body for wealth and wealth for body. Why your body is working? For wealth. And why you need wealth? For the body. So the whole sight, the whole vision has changed. Ya'kulu wa yatamattau, lifestyle, enjoyment. And then the third thing, wa yulhihimul amal. And the thing that distracts them is their dreams, their ambitions. Far ambitions, we'll build this, we'll have this investment, and this thing, you know, look after this property of ours, and this is how we will maintain our lifestyle. The whole fikr is just centered around that. يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ الْأَمَلُ. For a moment, you must stop and think that is their life centered around these three pillars or not? Anything else? يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ. Just these three goalposts, nothing else. If there's a war against anybody, again for the same thing. For lifestyle, to maintain that lifestyle, that enjoyment, that comfort. So if there's war, it's for that. It's work for that. Right? If it is any type of entertainment, it is for that. So everything is just centered around this three. يَأْكُلُوا وَيَتَمَتَّعُوا وَيُلْهِهِمُ. Now the problem is this, that they have reached a point, or we have reached a point, forget them, right? One person is shouting to Shaitan, you know, Shaitan, you made me do this, and you made me do this. But I ask you, if you wanted to do it also, didn't you want to do it as well? In fact, it may be that you wanted to do it, but you had to use Shaitan as a scapegoat. You wanted to do it, but you had to use someone, or, you know, this thing happened now. So how do we defer and throw the blame? Someone has to take the blame. So the easiest person to throw the blame on is the Shaitan. Anything easier? He made you do it. So now, me, I am clear, but Shaitan, he made me do it. That, see. So, we want to remain totally free of any blame. We do not say that, no, I did the wrong. I wanted to do it as well. And I am the cause. No, you have to just differ, you just have to turn the blame away from yourself to someone else. So now, moving the blame, shifting the blame, will it make the blame any less? Thing to ask is, you shifted it, right? But will it decrease the problem anyway? It's not going to decrease the problem. The problem is still at hand. You know, Shaitan made me do this, and he did this, and he made me do this. But alright, say for a moment that we accept your excuse, but will it lighten your problem? The problem will still be there. So shifting the blame doesn't decrease the problem. The problem still remains. After all, right, there must have been someone that was. There is something that is also misleading Shaitan, isn't it? Or let's say for a moment you say Shaitan. So then the question is, then who misled Shaitan? So the only answer you can say is nafs. So that's your problem, that nafs is worse than the Shaitan. Shaitan finds an opportunity, he works on the nafs. And then the nafs then steers you completely. Sometimes you tell the Shaitan. You see this in the human being, there's two elements that are working, right? One you call it ruh, and the other you call nafs. So the ruh, it will guide you, it will encourage you towards all that is good. Righteousness, virtue, humility, forgiveness, kindness. So that's the work of the room. It will take you to the right. Right. And then there is the other element in the human being that is called nafs. Right. The wrong that you are spurred up, that you are instigated, right? It's instigated by the nafs. Right. So there can be about three types of wrongs that you can think about that a man gets himself involved. Right. Sometimes it is about temptations. Right. Everybody got temptation. So that temptation makes you do something. Look at something wrong, listen to wrong, eat wrong, enjoy the wrong. Right. So what was the motivating factor? The motivating factor was the temptation. And who steers this temptation is the nafs. So that's one of the duty of nafs, to mislead. But mislead towards what? Temptation. So the nafs in itself, this is the one thing, type of work it will lead you towards, temptation, anything to tempt you somehow. He tempts you, and then you attempt. He will tempt you, and then you will attempt to do something wrong. So who tempts you? The nafs tempts you. So the nafs got these three problems. Temptation. That's why someone asked one Buzurg, the road to Allah Ta'ala, he says, is very, very, very easy. It's just two steps. One step on your nafs, and next step in Jannah. وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ أَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. For the fear of Allah Ta'ala, he suppressed his nafs. Sometimes I think to myself, in this nafs chakra, how long are we going to remain in the chakra of nafs? When are we going to escalate beyond this nafs? All the time, just in the nafsani chakra. So when you move off this realms of the nafsani chakra, then you move to the muhabbat of Allah Ta'ala, to the love of Allah Ta'ala. That's a different realm altogether, pure love of Allah Ta'ala. But now you stuck in this nafs thing, you can't move. So you have to discipline that thing so much that the nafs tells you, no, do this right, don't do this, do this and don't do this. The nafs will tell you. So you have to discipline it to such an level. One Buzurg used to say that people worship Allah Ta'ala at three levels. Right? One type of person will worship Allah Ta'ala, right? So that the comfort that he is already going through, those comforts must remain. Got a good job, good money, good health, good family. So why is serving Allah Ta'ala? That the comforts that he is presently going through, those comforts must remain. He knows that Allah Pak is the giver, so I have to make him happy. Make him happy, the comforts will remain. So now I ask you, what are you worshipping? For the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, or for maintaining your own comfort and your own enjoyment and luxury? What you worshipping Allah? We will not say he's wrong. We will not say he's a write-off. Alright? But he mustn't remain there. He must move on. It's only worshipping so that the comforts may be retained, may be preserved, right? For no other reason. Right? Then you get a person at a second level. The second level is that person that is worshipping Allah also. But he's worshipping Allah only for the pleasure, mainly of the hereafter. He's worshipping for the pleasure of the hereafter. So him also, we will not say that he's a write-off, but he is still stuck in the way, because his whole worship, his whole service is only for the pleasure. The pleasure will come, and all my effort, all my struggle is after that. So when is that time going to come? This path is an unending path. They call it, they say, Sayyid Fillah and Sayyid Ilallah. So at one level, when they say Sayyid Ilallah and Sayyid Fillah, so one level is you discipline yourself. You bring about a discipline. Now the discipline is this, the discipline of the Sharia, not what you will say discipline. You may say something as discipline and manners, and one is what the Sharia will say, discipline and manners, right? You may say, oh, he's very well disciplined, right? He came into the office, there were girls there, he shook hands with them, he greeted them, very disciplined. Is that discipline? Right? So they see discipline differently, and we read discipline differently. So we hear this word here, and we apply the common interpretation to the Shari'i term. Sharia has got a term, right, for discipline, for the tahzeeb, right? But now this usage of ours is applied onto the Sharitam. I see, is it right or not right? Now, some years back, maybe over 20 years, because we're sitting at the Kaaba there in the top masjid. So that's over 20 years, right? So one girl complained. Now they're not in Durban, so I can talk about it, right? So she complained about her husband, right? And that dossier was about 15 or 20 pages, professional style. You know how a book is written, word for word, like that style she wrote. Now, my habit is I don't write a detailed answer. Get to the point, what is the point, and send it finish class. Now, where more take the time out now, the 20 pages, I must write 100 pages, sitting in Ethikaf, we're going to get the time. Even if I'm not sitting in Ethikaf, but I just need to know what is the essence of the letter, write a reply and send it back. So I read the letter, I'm seeing her, what's the essence of her complaint. So I told her, see, to me it seems that you are Western educated, right? School, university, college, that's the education you want. And when you are in a crisis, then you are looking for a solution. But the solution you will look for is from the education that you have acquired. This is the education you've acquired, right? So you're looking for a solution here for a problem in your life, right? And it may be that solution is not consistent with our values, right? You've got Islamic values, you've got pure values. This is an alien foreign value where you picked up from some book. Maybe like you get Newsweek and you get Life magazine, Reader's Digest, all these things here. So you can see now it's an educated person. She will find a solution from this type of book on a crisis, right? And the solution that she found may not be consistent with our values. So now, I gave a principle now, I must illustrate it, I must explain it. And see, they got Western culture, got different values. Just imagine now, the flight landed, passengers came out, right? So people are there to receive. So you and your family will meet he and his family, right? Now a Western culture is, you will hug his family, and his family will hug you, right? What has happened? You will hug his family, his wife, right? And he will hug your wife, right? Now, that's called discipline, that's called the value, that's the culture. That's the life that they live, right? But now, can you apply that value to your situation? Can you apply it? Is it consistent with your values? It's not at all consistent with your values. So when it's not consistent with your values, and that's the base of your information. Where are you getting information? You're getting information from here. That's the source. That's the basis. Right. So when that's the basis now, then your mind is shaped accordingly. This is where you're getting all your information, right? So your mind is shaped accordingly. I just showed you one example, but you just open your mind to find more examples, right? So your mind, over the years that you've been in university, school, that, so you shape in a certain direction. So if you need to read, you read this. You need to look up something, you look here. That literature, that encyclopedia. So whatever you want, that's your base, that's your resource, that's your source. So over a period of time, then your mind shapes accordingly. You know, you heard of that bomb that went in Japan, Nagasaki, right? Hiroshima, Nagasaki, all that, right? So the encyclopedia, now that's a reference book, right? So the reference book speaks about the atom bomb, right? That fell there, right? They say, no, it was a good thing that it happened. Because if they didn't bomb Japan at that time, that war would have continued, you know. So many more lives would have been taken. So it fell here, now it stopped the war. So now they justify themselves. The radioactive thing that is coming out is damaging the lives up to now. So nobody talks about that. Right. And why had it to be dropped in Japan? You know, if you say that the war is against America and Japan, right? So why do you have to drop it here? If you want to drop it in America. Why here? But now, the reader is reading it, he says, oh, yeah, the Encyclopedia Britannica, this is what it says. Right. So that's how your mind is getting shaped. And you don't even realize gradually, you know, they say katra kartra, you know, one drop. It shapes that stone, that one drop. When big stone, rock, but that one stone, one drop is shaping that thing. So, after so many years, you're reading this thing here, you think your mind is not going to be warped and shaped. So your solution is not fighting with your husband and making the demands that you are making. That's not your solution. In my understanding, your solution is correct your mindset. So your question will be now, correct your mindset, and how do I correct the mindset? So your whole mind is shaped. 20 years, you've been 13, 14 years in school, then university, 6, 7 years. So all in all, 20 years. At your prime time, prime age, prime time, you were schooled around here. So that shaped your mind. Now that shape and that solution, you are looking into a crisis, into your problems, right? And I just showed you that may not be consistent with our values. Our values are different. Their values are different. So now, you will ask now, alright, then what's the solution? So I will tell you that the solution is correct the mind. So your question will be then, how do you correct the mind? So the mind is already warped, is already distorted. The mind is distorted, damaged, distorted. So now, the question is now, how do you correct the mind? So the correction of the mind is with three things. The first thing is, see, your mind is distorted, right? It's distorted, damaged because of the association, right? Isn't it? You went to school, university, all that you went, the type of company, right? That type of literature, that was the thing that distorted your mind. So your association has to be changed. That bad association brought about the situation. So now you need to rectify it and change that association. Otherwise, I'm going to try to make examples. You can know that, but it's going to be a temporary solution. Your mind is still full with that muck. Your mind is still with that filth, filled with that filth, right? I'm saying just do this, right? But you're doing that, still watching television. That's why the poet says, Subha Darkaf. Subha Darkaf. Toba Darlab. Dil Pur Azzoke Guna. Maasiyatra Khanda Mi Ayad Az Istighfar Ma. See, I just spoke about mindset, right? So, the Toba, you are reciting the Tasbih of Toba, right? Toba Barlab. Right? Toba Barkaf. One side you got the Tasbih, one side the tongue is engaged in Istighfar. But the thoughts are still there, stuck in the same wrong. Same wrong. That wrong is not weeded out of your system. You're still there. Because you still hold this thing in respect. The education, the system, and the standards that they have got. So you still hold it in a lot of respect and esteem. So when you're holding it in esteem, That means you are considering that to be your imam. It can't be that you hold it in esteem and you're not counting it to be your imam. So that became your imam, that became your leader, that became the one that is giving you the direction. You're holding in that esteem, in that respect. And how you make of that, you're holding in that esteem. See, from the person's behavior, you can make it out. وَلَتَعْرِفَنَّهُمْ فِي لَحْنِ الْقَوْلِ. He's not just an ordinary Hafiz Sahib man, he's a professor. Don't hear people saying this. So you, the importance that he's attaching to this is greater than the deen that Allah Ta'ala has blessed him. Jesus. Don't you hear this? He's a professor, but just talk to him. Talk to him nicely, respect him. Don't they say that? So we got that bacteria, that virus is inside. That virus of this alien thing is within ourselves. So if you want to correct it, you will have to correct the whole mind. And the mind will be corrected if the association, the surrounding, the environment is changed. The environment brought about this. Right? So you will have to have an environment that will rectify this, will correct this. Then I have to... So just one page letter I give, but I'm just explaining all that. Right? Now, your question will be, that as a woman now, I can't find an environment. I can't go and sit by an alim, by a buzrug or something. That will be the next question. So yeah, I understood. Wherever there is a crisis, a problem, you know, a need, Allah Ta'ala creates a solution. So the substitute for this, the substitute for this is you do two things. You can't find an association to change yourself and to mold yourself straight away. So you will do two things. One is, I will recommend some kitabs for you to study. You will not read kitabs of your own. You will not study kitabs and books of your own. But I will recommend those books and you study those books that I recommend. So, because your mind is like this, warped, so you will ask why only the books that I recommend. So I will tell you, is you have to go, you are going through a healing process. In a healing process, you need a certain type of a medication. You can't just take any medication. Can you just take any medication? You have to take a certain type of medication for the healing to go well. Where they ask you to take an aspirin, take an aspirin. They ask you to take something else, take something else. Right? So you're going for a healing process, you can't just take anything. Right? And then there are those that don't have the level of the love of Allah Ta'ala that is desired. They have a passion for deen, but the level of love is not there. When the level of love is not there, then that will not affect you. It's not going to touch you, it's not going to rub onto you. You need to be reading books of people whose hearts are drowning in the love of Allah Ta'ala. So I recommended the Fazail Kitabs and Basi Zewan. If you read this and do it diligently, at least for 1 hour. You got a problem, then any buzurg that you know of, the Imam Sahib in the masjid, whoever, as I'm going to Harun Sahib was quite active, refer to him. But don't do things on your own. So you study these books and you refer. Because I can understand you can't sit in the company of a man, but you need to refer. Where you find, I'm getting stuck and all that, I can't understand, I can't make any headway, then you refer to someone. But you'll have to do this, because accept it that your mind is warped. See, that's the point where nobody wants to accept. Well, my mind can't be warped. I'm so educated. 20 years, 25 years I was in the varsity, and then you say that my mind is warped. So nobody wants to accept that. Who wants to accept that my mind is warped? I can write so well, I can speak so well, I can analyze and reason so well, You're saying that, hey, my mind is warped. So I'm telling you, definitely your mind is warped. I got no doubts, I got no reservations. And I explained this just now, right? That you schooled like this for so many years, you can't tell me that your understanding wasn't warped. So that's the first thing that you will do. You will improve your association, correct your association. So the only association that I can think about for you is look at these kitabs. Because the book is also a type of an association. And the second thing is, we'll start off with some Quran Sharif recitation and some zikr in the house. But do it nicely. Do it with your heart, with your mind, do it properly. Right. Strangely, this girl, she wrote after 2 years. She said, Alhamdulillah, now my mind is beginning to think right. But it took her 2 years for her mind to begin to understand that she's got a problem and to come onto line. She must have been sincere, right? For what she was doing, I'm appreciating my husband now. I can see the good in him and I can see the faults in myself. But it took her 2 years to have a change of her mind. See that? So what we are talking about, for anything to come right, you need a line. The train has to move, it needs to be on the line. With all the best furniture, the equipment, the servers, all the comfort, name whatever you got, but it's not on the line. Can it move? Can't move. So simple that line may be. The line may be dirty. You know, if you go and see some places where in the third world countries, the line is full of mess everywhere. Yeah, this side mess, yeah, that side mess. But as simple as that line is, you will have to use it. Man naman. You will have to use that line. And you don't use that line, you can't move. You will have to use that line. So, the nafs now, I said, there's three forces in the nafs. The one force in the nafs is temptation. It will just lead you to anything that will tempt you. And temptation is a big, broad variety. It doesn't have to be all haram. It can be permissible also, but temptation, right? So, they will ask you here that you don't leave out temptation. Yes, gradually you decrease the temptation. Not to leave it out entirely. No. Because if you leave out the temptation completely, then you'll go wild. So I tell someone who's been drinking coke all his life, just drop the habit. So he left it for 6 months. After that, the way he'll drink was an official drink. Keep drinking. So you'll tell him, alright, that temptation and the luxury, you will not increase. But gradually, you will decrease. You will decrease it, right? Because the more you want to give into temptation, right, then you'll become an addict. And if you don't have it, then what? Then you steal, you rob, you do everything just to service your temptation. See, the person that's in drugs, right? That's an addiction. Right? Now, if he doesn't have it, what happens? He won't sell his father's brand new Mercedes for 1,000 rands, but he must service the thing. He's become so uncontrollable. So that's an addiction. But the unfortunate thing is, we restrict this addiction to drugs, right? We don't say that I got an addiction for this thing here, for that food, for this thing here, for this luxury. We don't say that. People got an addiction to phones, right? Don't you see? They can't leave it. Learned, not learned, pious, not pious, but there is a definite addiction. And nobody wants to accept that I got an addiction. No, I got some work and all right. Be it as it may, but it's an addiction, you can't leave it, see. So that's the one element of this temptation. And I say that temptation doesn't have to be all haram. It can be permissible. But understand that overdoing that halal can take you to haram. You ask anybody that's been using the phone, right? Just an example, right? You ask anybody. He's upgrading it. Time, again, he's upgrading all the time. Smartphone, right? Ask him that when he was operating that phone, even for a permissible thing, did he slip into some haram or not? Did he get into haram at some point or the other? You can't say that you miss it out, no. And then the irony is such that then you don't even consider the sin as sin. I know I was with one person, right? Now he's looking at this phone, right? So she says, "No, just look at this." My eyes fell on it, says astaghfirullah. And I'm like, it's not right. Because that one picture will come, the second picture, and then there'll be a woman's picture, something's gonna come. My eyes did fall on that, right? But say, by the way, keep this, it's not the right thing. So when you are with this thing all the time, can you say that you're safe? Can you say? When and the hadith which says, when you commit a wrong, then there's a black spot in your heart. Can you say now that your heart is clean? When your heart is going to be spotted now, then you'll be seeing things incorrectly. You'll be understanding things incorrectly. You can't see things correctly. The right will be seeming wrong, and the wrong will be seeming right, because your eyes are damaged. See, the person who's got yellow jaundice, right? He sees things wrongly. He's got a heavy bout of fever. He tastes things wrong. He can't taste right. He says, "No, I got eyes." They've got the eyes, but they can't see. They've got the hearts and the mind, but they can't understand, they can't reason. So Allah Ta'ala has sealed their hearts because of the wrong. And they're so steeped in the wrong that they don't want to recognize the wrong to be wrong. Then, the same thing, one is they will pass it to you, they see a friend. A small little child is there, right? And the child got an impressionable mind, innocent mind. And if he's making some musty or something, just to pacify him, then pass the phone. And the child can be doing anything and seeing anything, everything. I know one woman phone up here, right? So she said, "I don't know what to do. We've got Lama in the family and pious people in the family." So I'm listening to her story. Then last night, she says, my two sons, one is 12, the other is 13 or something, one clambered to the other. So I just asked that woman, the room, from the pious family, "You will have any type of gadgets?" "Yeah, they were watching this thing here, they saw something there, and they start to experiment the same thing." You give them that unsupervised right to look at these things here. They saw that thing, now they want to experiment the thing. Right? But who's at fault? Not only the child, but the parents are also at fault. You can't say it's only the child's fault. You want to give him this thing here, you know it's got these things, so he's going to see it. When he sees it, he wants to experiment it. When he wants to experiment it, then I want to know why he did this. So we're talking of this aspect of temptation. That temptation, you can't give it a free run, just do what you want. You can't. The other side of nafs is anger, right? That's the second element in nafs. So the nafs has got this element of temptation, the element of anger, right? So now, if something happened against your mizaj, against your temperament, then you want to respond verbally, physically, in writing, but somehow you want to get back. See, that anger, it doesn't leave you at ease. You want to get back at the person, sometimes through rebirth, sometimes through gossip, sometimes through an article, sometimes through... But somehow you want to get through the person. I know about 35 years ago, so we are accompanying Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So it was like a rural place, they didn't have a proper imam, right? Well, he was doing the Jumas, not an alim, I think, but he was doing the Jumas. So at guy that was taking us around, he's telling us, see, because of this imam here, there's few professional people that are not coming to masjid. So I asked him, but what happened? See, the imam has got it against them, right? Against one, two of them, he's got it. So he uses the Jummah platform to attack them. So he said, amongst us, there are such people here, amongst us, that are that's supposed to be stoned to death. The imam, that whoever it was, that professional person, he must have got involved in zina or something one time, and he got to know about it. So now, he says that they're stopping him from coming from Jummah. He's hearing this, and some people know about it, and when they know about it, then one person will pass it on to the second person and the third person, and the whole world will know, actually, this is the person that the imam was referring to. See that? But you see this anger. Anger doesn't even come in one way. We think anger is now, go and hit the person, become physical, aggressive. But anger is expressed in different ways, sometimes physically, sometimes verbally, sometimes through your mind, somehow or the other. But you have to use it. But in all this, one friend of mine, you know, I say, what a level of taqwa he's got. What a level of taqwa. I didn't even think about it. This happened about some 15 years ago. 15 or 17 years ago, it happened. Right? So, he was now the HOD of a certain department in school, high school, HOD. So, now he's old now, he's about 45, 50. The time was still quite good looking, you see. And one, two girls were eyeing him, 17, 18 years ago, they were looking at him. And they were trying to seduce him, right? And he was refusing. And they're becoming more and more blatant. So he says, one day they became so blatant, you know. So they said, I cried and made dua to Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala just destroy this one. And when I see Mullah, not even 1 hour passed, she was involved in an accident and she died. Now he's asking, you know, that's the point of taqwa that I said. He's asking me now, that is it my guna that she died? See, if it was one of us, mere karamat ko dekho, uski to musibat aayi, aur mera to karamat ho gaya. See how we will look at it. But look at the taqwa of this person, a school teacher, ordinary person. But you see this taqwa, it doesn't have to be seen only in a masjid or in a madrasa. It can be a school teacher also. But that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala is so, so strong in him that it happened now. And he could have thought like this, no, it wasn't my dua got accepted. He said, no, but I cursed her and she died now. Am I sinful for that? Straightly I looked at the more time at this Malfuzat, and here the incident is the same. Exactly the same. The person had cursed someone and that person died. So he's asking Mawlana, okay, am I sinful? And Mawlana also admired him. Like I'm admiring this person here. Mawlana spoke very highly about him. So I say, by this taqwa doesn't have to be restricted to a masjid, to a madrasa, but it can be a teacher, it can be anybody else. But he's got the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. That's the thing to be seen. See, at such a level that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, am I gunegar that this person died? What must I do? If I am gunegar, what must I do? So you see this anger, in which way it can come? Coming gossip, in ghibat, in attacking, physical, mental, whichever way. But it can come, that anger can have the bit over you. So the nafs is an embodiment of these two things. Sometimes it's anger, sometimes it's temptation. Anger, and sometimes. So when the anger has the bit over the nafs, then, right, then the nafs is like a beast, right? It's a beast. And if it's the temptation that has the bit over him, then he's like a dog. Because the dog goes after any temptation, doesn't it? So you see this embodiment of the nafs, what it's made of, what it's constructed of. Sometimes it's a beast, sometimes it's a dog. And then when he wants to be crafty and plan something, you know, conspire, right? How he'll conspire, how he conspires, that he will even embarrass the shaitan. He'll be so smart in that. He'll put shaitan on side. So you see this nafs, how dangerous it is. And then the importance to get this nafs right, to discipline. I said discipline. So our disciplining doesn't mean, it doesn't have to be the same as others understand discipline to be. They understand discipline to be something else. And we say discipline something else. But once that nafs is right, these three things are right. This conniving, conspiring, anger, right, and then temptation. Then you say that, yeah, nafs to muhazzab huya. Now it's called its discipline. Now inshallah, it can make progress. Allah Pak Tawfiq Nasib Kulli.